Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Holler if you hear me. Here we go, turn it up, let's start. From block to block, the sack and heart to Jack and Mark. And the punk police can't fake the American.
Building.
like G's up to the flag of that black power banner. Tell me unify the hood. It's gonna pop it on the crack and riders from the hood. Fed up with these bustin' niggas frontin' like they should. Pumpin' out your chest to the homies on the block. When them pigs roll up, see you ran from a spot. Say she was a G, but you ain't bust back. Got them faggot ass faces that love to kill blacks. Only set trip on a red or blue flag. But you don't do shootin' 5-0 flag to bag. Violate your manhood, feelin' on your crotch. Why the whole damn hood lookin' helpless and watch. Hustle in the hood, but won't build in the hood. We're killin' the hood, but won't heal in the hood. Still niggas rise, bitch niggas lay low. Warriors organized, we the style of the town. Warriors, black power cases. Here to heal the hood, organize the cases. Unify the hood if you claim a gangster. You ain't dealing with that, you's a fucking waster. Warriors, black power cases. Here to heal the hood, organize the cases. Unify the hood if you claim a gangster. You ain't dealing with that, you's a fucking waster.
They talk Hollywood, Scarface to the youngsters. Street dreams of being a G with no substance. Probably love override oppressive dominion. When we bang on each other, tell me what message are we sending? Enemies come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. Just because you black don't make you a brother. What we need is structure, a code of culture. The most bravest riders, the smartest hustlers, organized like soldiers. The bang for justice and get rid of the busters. Uncle Tom's ain't snitches amongst us. G, gotta be conscious, you sleep, you slipping. When you ain't hip, you ain't on top of your pimping. And that's the difference between one of these wannabe Tony Montanas with a bandana and a real G that's riding for something. It's family first, loyalty, love, honor, respect. How you banging and don't know the history of your own set? We came a long way, but still today we not free yet. So don't consider this a diss, homie, it's a G-check. We need
warriors, black power cases. You can heal the hood, organize the cases. You can find a hood if you claim a gangster. You ain't dealing with that, you's a fucking waster. Warriors, black power cases. Here to heal the hood, organize the gangsters. Unify the hood, if you claim a gangster. You ain't dealing with that, you's a fucking waster. You ain't riding for the struggle, I don't care to rock you. I don't care to knock you, I don't care to pop you. Sagging motherfucker, I don't care to drop you. Leave them bitches alone, a lot of people.
I want some little Bobby Hutton and Geronimo the Doctor. Follow up Garvey just like my little father. George Washington Carver, make a bomb out of peanut. Add a little piece of black power, you'll see what happens when you eat out of the OG cookbook. Recipe for revolution, niggas in the street be shooting. Watch me be like Huey Newton, punching pigs in the face. I'm the page of history that they wanna erase, yo. I'm the blood in their mouth, there's something foul taste, yo. I'm that loose screw that they just wanna replace, but they can't. When I come through like the Native movement in my war paint. See the difference in us and them. We bang on the system, not on our brothers and sisters. That's simple and that's a given. I'm living the G life. They're getting us free like that RPG life. Sipping like Hermes and my wife. And
yo, I fall for head of beer, shed a tear. Yeah. When I think about my niggas so here and they ain't here.
Oh, ain't
too much love and it's too much hate here.
The hood.
So much drugs and so much faith here.
I'm good.
Cause I'm surrounded by real folk. Do most anything they could just to change our situation.
Honest.
Welfare won't change our situation. Welfare, healthcare finna change our situation. My platform is education. It's elevated like the train station. The locks told you we made it, you never be faded than BPG.
BPG,
like bootleg DVDs.
Yeah,
be a old school dog. Free up in the city, calm and dark. Man, I'm a tenement lieutenant. Never forget my antennas. Help get a little nigga, leave his pack. Hustle for fam, I know we need his stack. Jesus black.
In world news today, officials decree that rapper Brad Jordan, alias Scarface, must be stopped. After being monitored by Secret Service agents for 2 years, evidence leads tobacco and firearms officials to believe that his literally dope lyrics promote drug usage and distribution, degrade women, influence gambling, promote and teach violence, and more importantly, it's influencing our minors and destroying our community. Officials say he's the lord of underground rap, him and his music must be stopped.
We got this whole motherfucker on the mission. Now the whole entire world has gotta try to come up with a quick decision. They claim we threats to society. And now they're calling on the government to try to make somebody quiet for the bullshit they done to me. Gangsta Nip Spice warned that Tupac never gave a gun to me. So gangsta rap ain't done shit for that. I've even seen white folks from River Oaks go get to get. So why you trying to kick them dust up? America's always been known for blaming us niggas, but they fucked us. And we were always considered deep. now they're trying to bust our only code of communicating with our people. Let's beat the game from a different angle. Matt Dillon pulled his pistol every time him when someone tangled. So why you criticize me for the shit that you see on your TV? That breaks worse than TG. Just bring your ass to where they got me, so you can feel the hand of the dead button.
Nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
Now they trying separation and sending black folks in white coats to infiltrate our congregation, tapping into our conversation, taking the message that they get, bring forth wrong premeditation. So David's got a silver mask. While listening to Brad, David gets pissed and killed his dad. David Duke's got a shotgun. So why you get upset? Cause I got one. A chest kit, a task kit, a nigga got his ass kicked, shot in the face by a cop, closed casket. An open and shut situation. Cop gets got, they wanna blame it on my occupation. If you don't dig me, then nigga, you can sue me. Cause the shit that I be saying ain't worse than a Western movie. Don't blame me, blame your man, got it. So you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
You better free your mind before I free my nine and stop fucking with Detroit up pop. I feel my hot rocks like bang, boom, boom, ping, ping. I'm the black, white boy, got a magazine and don't know how to act. I attack and make you vomit. Down with Khaled, I'm through Muhammad. Dewey got a brother, I'm McNick. I'm the illest, wanna kill this house nigga, Don Cornelius. Can you feel this? You punk niggas make me sick. Sucking on the devil, dick, scared of revolution. Need to start douching. Houston is the place. I caught a case. The motherfuckers tried to put a scar on my face, but I bust two times to the gut. Through the Reverend Calvin bust, got a pair of nuts. I started this gangsta shit in 86. Now you're dissing me for publicity. Isn't he a hoe to the third degree? Who me? I'm a G that like to scrap a lot. Down with rap a lot, and I can't stop, won't stop. So fuck Bill and Hillary. Ice Cube, it ain't no killing me. Ice Cube, Scarface, dropping on sellout ass niggas. Doing it like,
nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
Black power, black power, black power. You are listening to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. I am your host tonight, Sister Crystal Muhammad, the national chair of the New Black Panther Party. Our co-host tonight is Brother Greg, our national minister of culture. We are broadcasting to you tonight live in the belly of the beast here in America, KKK. I'm holding it down in the south, and Brother Greg is holding it down up north. But regardless of the fact, we still in the trenches. We want to send a special shout out to all of our brothers and sisters in the many countries on the continent of Africa that are listening to our broadcast tonight, as we know you're truly dedicated to be listening in this late night hour. It's about 3 or 4 a.m. on that side of the planet in the motherland. So black power salute to everyone that's listening. Same way for all the sisters and brothers that are listening in UK and all of those areas in the East. Shouts out to everyone that's listening in Central and South America. Black power salute. And last and certainly not least, the comrades and brothers and sisters that are listening here in the belly of the beast in America, KKK, as well as those who are listening in Canada and anywhere else on the planet Earth that you're tuning in. We do appreciate your listenership as well as your support. This is the New Black Panther Party. To reach us, contact us at www.nbpp.org. That's N as in new, B as in black, P as in panther, P as in party.org. Tonight, brothers and sisters, is going to kick off what would be our regular Wednesday night broadcast. We are still dealing with a pandemic. Not only is it a pandemic in which the biological weapon of COVID-19 was dropped on the planet Earth, but also there is an even more diabolical scheme in which the wicked nations of the earth, wicked governments of the earth, have been attempting to push this biological weapon into the arms of the people. And unfortunately, too many people are falling for the okey-doke and taking the jab. So what we promise to do on Wednesday night is bring you not only scholarship, we're going to bring you clips from various doctors, researchers, biologists, and experts on this subject matter to keep us all on top of what's going on. Dr. Eileen Muhammad, who has been very instrumental since this coronavirus first unleashed to give us the true understanding of what it was that we were dealing with, has a weekly call on Tuesdays that they do that is entitled Your Immunity Project. And what I have done tonight, in which our previous host had done, is I uploaded the most current Dr. Eileen audio that is available from Your Immunity Project. Now, these calls are on every Tuesday, but the way it's looking, it seems like we'll be playing the clip from the previous Tuesday. So in other words, there was a call last night. It hasn't been uploaded yet, but the call from last Tuesday is available, so the information is still current. I will be playing this clip tonight, which is 44 minutes. After that, we will have a couple of clips that I will play from. I've been meaning to play this clip. There are some clips from a doctor by the name of Judy Malkovich. Now, this is a devil. This is a cracker. But she was part of the research team that was instrumental in creating and developing this virus. And we played this a ways back when the virus first hit. But I feel that it's very intricate and very important that we, you know, keep ourselves on top of what actually transpired, what it is that we're dealing with. And of course, we do have new people who listen on. We want to make sure that this information is not only educational, but informative, but thorough as well. So before I dive into playing these clips, and I will give the floor to my brother Greg, and to the young princess who wants to set the show off, as we always do, and the children shall lead the way. What do you say, young princess?
Yes, sir.
One more time.
Yes, sir.
There we go. There we go. Right on. Right on, young princess. So, Brother Greg, before I play this clip, do you have anything you want to say? Any updates? You know, what's going on up there in the East Coast with this vaccine and this COVID blast?
Well, it's you know, a lot of things are the same up here. They're, you know, still trying to, you know, require a lot of the healthcare professionals, you know, to you know, get vaccinated. As a lot of people know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, things heated up, you know, in New York City, you know, with healthcare workers, police, firefighters, you know, and so forth. So it hasn't been, you know, a big change in that regard.
Now everybody doesn't know. So what happened? What happened? What happened up there in New York with the healthcare workers and firefighters?
Oh, I mean, they were, you know, walking out, you know, the hospitals, you know, causing, I mean, havoc in regards to, you know, people, you know, women who are expected for delivery. Delivering, you know, babies, you know, it just put a big hamper on the day-to-day functions, you know, at the hospitals. And, you know, they always look for ways to bring other, you know, people in who don't mind getting vaccinated, but, you know, when you got the doctors who are refusing to, you know, participate in this, you know, something ain't right. And the doctors, you know, we've known for the longest, but you know, when certain things get momentum and get out to the public, you know, in this case, doctors are out more saying, you know what, this shit ain't right. You know, you can't be forcing, you know, people to take something that's, you know, not technically a vaccine. It's just some damn shot that was, you know, made and created because it's not functioning as a vaccine, you know, supposed to, you know, function. So, you know, that's pretty much what's happening up here. On another note, as an update here in Newark, you know, reported, you know, a little over a month or so ago, actually about 2 months ago, about the, you know, police officers here not, you know, firing, you know, a single shot, you know, within the year. But I also, you know, had to point out from a lot of the stats from the city and the different organizations that, you know, crime is still, you know, at a peak. And yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, there were like five different shooting incidents within a couple of hours span here in Newark. Most of the individuals that were, you know, shot, they were, you know, teenagers. So even though, you know, there's a, you know, talk about police not doing the shooting, but the number of crimes, you know, and specifically shootings has been, you know, steadily rising. I'll get some definite, accurate numbers from the organizations that, you know, I stay in touch with here in Newark, the Brick City Peace Collective, that has a few different organizations, the street team, crime prevention, you know, organization. We normally used to have a Zoom meeting once a week, then it went to once every 2 weeks, and now it's monthly. So, you know, but I'll try to get the information, you know, before those monthly meetings, and, you know, definitely right. Share that with everyone.
But, well, I got to say this, you know, it's not the police that deters crime, so it doesn't matter. Crime is always, and it's a sociological, it's a political, it is an economic fact that crime is mm-hmm. a direct result of poverty. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So until the issues of poverty are addressed, you know, and also, you know, in regards to our brothers and sisters committing, you know, what do you call it, fratricide on one another, we have an issue of black inferiority complex, you know, and a post-traumatic slave disorder that has to get addressed. And the only people that are going to fix this are going to be those of us in the community, such as yourself, and those who are going to have to directly and who are directly engaging, you know, our young people. But, you know, we have to deal with the issues of poverty, of not having self-sufficiency, the low self-esteem, and the self-hatred that our people have for one another. You know, so
absolutely.
These are, you know, major matters to tackle. Not to, on top of that, you know, the mental illness, you know, that our people suffer from, trying to, quote unquote, function normally in a total abnormal and wicked setup, you know. So, you know, I really wanted to, you know, unfortunately, this is the same across the board, all across America, Brother Greg, you know, and we have to really
absolutely.
Just, you know, deal with it, like tell it like it is. And then, you know, as we mentioned last night on the program, what are we going to do about it? It's not going to happen from the state. It's not going to happen from the government. Certainly not going to happen from the police. The issues that are going on with our children in these streets are our responsibility. Go ahead, Brother Greg.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, you know. But, you know, I do give, you know, credit, you know, where it's due. You know, our brother Sharif is always out there. You know, there's a few other individuals who are consistently out there, you know, in the communities, in the neighborhoods, within the organization, that, you know, I do give, you know, that credit where that credit is due. But we definitely need
yes,
more.
Yes, sir, National Field Marshal Sharif, I'm in the hotel. stays on the battlefield.
Yeah, absolutely. He stays out there. You know, I try to run into him as much as possible. You know, when he's not, you know, in City Hall, and you know, definitely a great example. You know, somebody who's out there, has been out there. You know, it's not nothing new. He's always been out there. So, you know, definitely a big up to him. But I'm definitely going to gather, you know, a lot more, you know, information, what's going on in, you know, other areas of the city, you know, for the next broadcast, just to give a good update, you know, on what's going on. But other than that, tonight's going to be a great show. I'm working on a couple of guests in the very, very, very near future. So, you know, I'm not going to drop any names or anything, but definitely, you know, everyone who's listening, with over the past 2 weeks or so, you see the great, you know, schedule and the lineup that we have. I mean, you know, Sunday, Monday, you know, we got powerful shows. You know, Tuesday and Thursdays, I call those, you know, our Back to Africa, you know, shows. But, you know, throwing in, you know, tonight and everything that Dr. Aleem has been doing over these decades, not just during this fake, you know, pandemic, but over the decades, you know, of work. You know, Wednesday's going to be a fantastic, you know, show. So everybody sit back, you know, take some good notes, you know. Get some of this great information, and again, like we mentioned last night, you got to start applying it. You know, not just taking it in, but definitely applying it.
That's right. That's right. Black power queen, black power king, princess that is, queen in training. Speaking of tomorrow night on our New African Network broadcast that is hosted by Brother Eugene Talford of ETC Logistics, we will have a special guest by the name of Keith Williams. Keith Williams is a senior credit analyst who has over a decade of progressive commercial banking experience, and he has a broad range of experience in corporate lending and risk analysis. So he will be talking to us about financial research and things of that nature, and his role in the market when it comes to commercial banking and investment opportunities in West Africa, in Ghana to be particular, to be specific. So, yeah, we have a brother with a major background, not only in finance, but in banking, that's going to be addressing opportunities for brothers and sisters in Ghana, you know. So Brother Eugene keeps bringing these power hitters. On Friday, we will be doing a special broadcast. We will be broadcasting at the 8 o'clock hour Central, 9 o'clock hour Eastern, 7 o'clock hour Pacific. We will start a live fundraising plug-in for Brother Ozone, Otha Wallace. This fundraiser actually is going to kick off at 12 noon on Friday, November the 19th, on YouTube, on OC the Great TV, and the arm or leg of the fundraiser that the New Black Panther Party will be hosting will take place from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central. Again, that is 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific. So how that's going to go, we're still going to be broadcasting here at our regular time. We're just going to be interacting on YouTube. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic. We really didn't quite do this before the last time. The last time we did a dual broadcast on the New Black Panther Party YouTube channel along with the OC the Great channel. So we're going to try to do a three-way here. We're going to be broadcasting from our YouTube channel and our Blog Talk channel while simultaneously on OC the Great. So we're doing a little technology jumping, so bear with us. You know, we're going to get this down pat. So with that being said, that's Friday. And then, of course, on Sunday and Monday, we have our national spokesman, Malik Mau Mau, coming in doing some political education and commentary And then on Tuesday, next Tuesday, Brother Tutmos Sankara on the Kibalon World News Report will have live Brother Rakim Balagoon with Gorilla Mainframe. So we got some back-to-back action going. It doesn't stop. We're going to keep the political education going. We're going to keep you on top of everything that's going on and what you know, our people are fighting for. Everybody needs to be focusing and having our eyes on Brunswick, Georgia, as well as Kenosha, Wisconsin, as the trial is taking place for Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia, and the no good for the killers of Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia, as well as the no good killer cracker, Kyle Rittenhouse in Kenosha, Georgia. It's a very, you know, tense time that's going on here in America. These are two cases in which vigilante white boys murdered our people, you know, murdered our people. So we're going to see if the state, if the government is going to pull off what they did in 2015 with George Zimmerman. And the question is, what are the people's response going to be? I suggest if they don't give us justice, that there's no peace in any of the streets. So, you know, but here it goes, brothers and sisters. We have a lot on our plate, but all of these things that we are dealing with, we are able to handle, or else it wouldn't have been dropped in our lap. But I tell you what, our ancestors went through far worse. We're dealing with biological weaponry that we can identify and know where it came from. We're going to prove it. In the lab, we're going to prove it by playing one of the people tonight who is part of creating this weaponry. And we have solutions, treatments, prevention, and more information that we're getting ready to play now from one of our doctors, Dr. Aleem Muhammad. See, for every cause, for every cause, there's a direct, for every effect, there's a direct cause. For every action, there's a right reaction. There's counteraction. There's defense, there's offense that has to be played. We have all the people, all the skill set that we need within our black nation, here in America, and across the whole Pan-African diaspora, in the motherland, and back and all across the planet Earth, has reached into our own skills bank, our own toolboxes. So here we go. I'm about to play this clip of Dr. Aleem Muhammad. I uploaded it while the show was playing, so I hope we don't have any problem. So without any further ado, Dr. Aleem Muhammad, the Your Immunity Project, COVID update.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all of the world. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin, Master of this day of judgment in which we now live. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Thee do we serve, and thee do we beseech for help. Guide us on the right path, the path of those upon that which thou hast bestowed favors. Sirat al-ladina anamta allahim, ghayrul maghdubi allahim, wala tawli. Not the path of those upon whom thine wrath is brought down, nor of those who go astray. Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Your Immunity Project. This is the Zoom conference call. You're in the right place. You didn't make a mistake. In fact, you're right on time, so call somebody, let them know. This is where you find out what's going on. For your weekly updates on COVID-19, the vaccines, the mandates, all the rest of it. This is where you get to find out what the truth is. We sometimes call the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call, sometimes we call it the Hour of Truth. Because no matter how good, bad, or ugly the truth might be, we tell it here. So don't plug up your ears. Don't close your eyes. Open up your eyes. Open up your ears to the truth. The book says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So it has to be articulated. Somebody has to tell it. It has to be told somewhere. They don't have any trouble telling lies. And so here we are trying to tell the truth. So welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. You may be on the conference call. You may be on the Zoom call. But you are certainly welcome. So please call somebody. Let somebody else know. This is where the information flows. Now, we give a disclaimer. We talk about all kinds of things, medical problems, legal issues, all kinds of issues. But our disclaimer is we're nonpartisan. We're non-sectarian. We are what we are. And we have our point of view. You don't have to believe what you hear on the Your Immunity Project, but you should listen to it and compare it to what you hear elsewhere. Because we try to back up everything that we say with the facts. Now, what is our major objective? What are we trying to do? Are we trying to shame Anthony Fauci? Are we trying to discredit the CDC? Are we trying to show up Joe Biden? Are we carrying political capital for somebody? No. We are the Your Immunity Project. We are the community's response to the threat against our very existence, the threat against our immunity. So the Your Immunity Project is yours. It is your response. And it can be a strong response or it can be a weak response. It's up to you. But here is where you come and get strengthened by the truth. And so we back up what we say with the truth, because it is the truth that will free us from the lockdowns, from the shut-ins, from the holdbacks, from the oppression, from the coercion, from the government on down, the pressure that is being felt by everyone, everywhere. This is where you get the key, the solution, to what you should do as an individual for your individual survival. It is well known, it has been prophesied that we as a people will survive. But then it comes down to the individual. Will you or I survive as individuals? Will we make it through this time of trouble that is troubling the whole world? It seems like a time of trouble that has never been since the world has stood. But here we are in the middle of it, and this is our response to it. So welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. We operate according to five basic principles. We go over those five principles every single call because there's always somebody new and there's always a new wrinkle in what's going on. We talk about prevention, diagnosis, treatment, research, and education. We're on the education point right now. That's what this is all about, educating one another about what is going on. And so prevention means doing what is necessary to prevent the contagion from a virus. Well, we figured that out. We have the Paxlovid, 100% effective in the prevention of contagion by viruses. But now we have a new problem. It's called the spike protein. Sister Najma, can you put up the image with the three people standing there? Can you do that real quick? We have a new situation. More than just the virus, we have the self-spreading, self-propagating spike protein. That's what the mRNA shot does. It causes people to propagate that spike protein that does all of the damage. And so once we have that image up, we'll see what that looks like. And then we'll have to think through this together. But what should you do about that to prevent yourself from becoming vaccinated after you have said out of your mouth? Okay, here, I think the images are coming up now. Not that one. That's a good image. We'll come back to all of them. We'll come back to that one. Here, yes, that's the one. The new super spreaders. Yeah, perfect. Now, in one image, this kind of captures the present day reality. The new super spreaders. Who are the new super spreaders? They are the vaccinated people. Now, if you look at the image, you see on the left-hand side, you see a vaccinated person. This is the person that received the shot. One, two, or three shots. Now they're talking about booster shots. Now the shot is not a vaccine. The shot is an operating system. It's an injectable operating system, such as you would put into a computer, only this time this injectable operating system has been put into a human being. And so that's the person on the left. So now every cell in that person's body starts to produce the spike protein. Well, what is the spike protein? Well, according to the Salk Institute, they said that all of this pathophysiology, all of the sickness, all of the illness, all of the symptoms, all of the deaths, in other words, due to the COVID-19 virus were caused by the spike protein that was riding on the back of the COVID-19 virus. So now we have a situation. See, the new situation is you don't see a virus in this picture. What you see is a vaccinated person that's manufacturing what the virus used to carry. Now the person is carrying the spike protein because the person is now manufacturing trillions upon trillions of copies of the spike protein. And so now that spreads. It's a self-propagating situation. It spreads through the air. It spreads on skin contact. It spreads through body fluids. And what is being spread is the spike protein. And so the person in the middle did not get the vaccine, but is receiving the spike protein from the person who did, because they share the same environment. They are breathing the same air. They are touching one another. And then there's the third person all the way on the right, who is receiving a smaller dose from the person in the middle. Remember, the person in the middle didn't get the shot, but was in the workplace, in the classroom, on the team, in the club, in the restaurant, on the subway, on the bus, on the plane, at the airport, with people who were vaccinated. So let's just look at the numbers. What percentage of people in this country are represented by the person on the far left that got the vaccine? 80%. So the person in red and the person on the far right, that's the 20% that's not vaccinated, so they think. These are the people, the middle one and the one on the right, these are the people like you, most of you, who said no. It doesn't matter because you're around people who said yes. Or were coerced. They didn't really say yes, but they were forced to they think they were forced to get the shot. So this is the real issue now when we talk about prevention. See, how do you prevent the spread of the spike protein from 80% of the population who are vaccinated to the 20% like me and you who don't want to be vaccinated? Well, the only way you can do that is to avoid the person who has been vaccinated. We use it, well, what about the Paxlovid? The Paxlovid won't affect this process. So let that sink in. And so how do you diagnose? How can you tell whether a person is shedding the spike protein? How can you tell whether a person was vaccinated? Well, they might tell you. They might have a COVID-19 vaccine passport in their pocket or on their phone. But they might not tell you. And then if you're in a crowded place, in a public place, like the stadium over in Shanghai or the music festival down in Texas, how many of those people were vaccinated? About 80% of them. Out on the beaches now. Out of lockdown now. Preparing for the holiday season with family and friends. Just like old times. Well, how can you tell that the person at the Thanksgiving dinner table is vaccinated or not if they don't tell you? They might know that you are not in favor of that, so they'll be hush-hush. I won't let anybody know. You see, so this is the dilemma. How do you tell? You can't tell. Now, the vaccinated people, many of them are beginning to populate the hospital emergency wards. They're beginning to populate the hospital wards and the death wards because the spike protein is taking its toll. It's beginning to take its toll on the people who directly receive the shot. But it's also beginning to take its toll on the people who are in the vicinity, in the same environment as people who got the shot. And so this is the great dilemma. And so because there is no way to diagnose for sure whether or not the spike protein is in the environment, you have to control your environment. You have to put yourself in self-isolation, or a better way of saying it, self-quarantine. You have to have total avoidance of people who have been vaccinated. No ifs, ands, or buts. So the image speaks for itself, the new super spreaders. Now let me add two other points. I've been talking as though the only thing that the vaccinated people spread is the spike protein. Well, that would be bad enough if that were true, but it's not true. They also are spreading the lipid nanoparticles. The lipid nanoparticles house the mRNA and the electronic components that are in the shot. The lipid nanoparticles are like bubbles. When you say lipid, lipids are fats. So this is a fatty substance that houses, encloses, in other words, the electronic components and the mRNA operating system that's in the shot. That's also airborne. So the super spreader is also spreading the mRNA technology, so the person in the middle starts to produce the spike protein as though they got the shot. And then the third horror is, and you hear this in the news expressed a different way, the vaccinated people have breakthrough COVID cases, they say. In other words, they produce all of the variants. The Delta, the Epsilon, the Lambda variants are coming from the vaccinated people in super amounts. So they're spreading these variant viruses to unvaccinated people. So now the unvaccinated people are protected from those variant viruses by the Paxlovid. Yes, that's true. There's no reason to stop taking the Paxlovid, but you're taking it to protect yourself from viruses. But it does not protect you from the spike protein, nor does it protect you from the lipid nanoparticles that house the mRNA operating system. And so again, diagnosis is impossible at this point. There's no test. So prevention and diagnosis, and also I should say there's no treatment for the spike protein at this point. The preliminary reports for my spike protein protocol are dismal. The preliminary results are not good. And so, you know, we don't know really what to do. There are many people who are offering all kinds of things. Pine needle soup and all kinds of things. Well, okay, nice tries, but probably the solution is going to be a little bit more sophisticated than that. But right now there is no solution, so the only thing that we can do that is appropriate is self-quarantine, total avoidance of those who are vaccinated or who have been in the environment of vaccinated people. And then we have to continue to do the research and the education on both the effects of the viruses that are in the environment, as well as the spike protein process that's also now in the environment, where 80% of people are shedding the spike protein. They are the majority. So, excuse me. Yes, can I see that mandate image, please? Now, for those of you who are tuning in, we're not going to have our usual research report this evening. They're busy trying to get the final reports done for the first phase. That was closed out some weeks ago. They're doing the best that they can to to issue the report. Maybe we'll have that by next week. So they're working hard. So they won't be with us tonight. Now, the image that you're looking at says vax mandate. And you see people standing around looking at deadlines. Now, the announced deadline is January the 4th from OSHA. That's when all of the so-called mandates that are forcing private employers, corporations, companies, businesses, schools, other institutions, anybody that is tied to the government through contracts or in any other manner, anyone who receives any type of government benefit, whether it be welfare, whether it be electronic benefits, food stamps, whatever, Section 8 housing, then this mandate goes into effect January the 4th, and it goes into effect with force and power behind it. In other words, you will have no choice. Mr. Biden already said it's not about your personal freedom or your personal choice. It's about what they say. Now, the interesting thing about the vaccine mandate that the president issued is that he didn't actually issue it. Yeah, let me say that again. The interesting thing about President Biden's vaccine mandate is that he didn't actually issue it. He just said that he did. But everybody knows that he's a big liar. So why did you believe it? But when people actually looked, they found out that it had not actually been published in the Federal Register. Now, maybe it has been published since then. But there are about half the states in the union, the attorneys general of about half the states in the union are bringing suit against Mr. Biden and his administration because they're saying the vax mandates are illegal. Judges around the country are ruling in favor of workers, policemen, firemen who are standing up against the mandates, wherever they might be, wherever they take it to court, they find out that the whole thing is illegal. And so people are calling for mass protest walkouts. I think there was one for tomorrow or just yesterday or sometime. There's one in Washington, D.C., I think on November the 20th. They invited me to come. I'm not going there, but if they had a Zoom link, I would speak. Because you should stand up against unjust, I was going to say unjust laws, but a mandate is not even a law. That's just somebody saying, I say so. So let us have the next images, please. I guess I'm just going to stay on this, and then we'll have a progress report. All the news is good where the Paxamune is concerned. Now, this news isn't good. You see, so now, just a little while ago, the FDA, that does not have a commissioner yet, did you know that? President Biden didn't actually pick a commissioner for the FDA yet. So who's running the FDA? Well, before you answer that question, who's running Biden? He certainly ain't running anything. So obviously he's just a puppet for somebody. But now whoever's running the FDA, they voted in favor of a mandate, especially in the state of California, with the missing governor. Hasn't been seen in 10 days since he got his booster shot. But anyhow, they're coming for the kids. They're coming for the children. 28 million children are now eligible, age 5 to 11, are now eligible to receive this shot. And so this is going to be mandated in schools. Now, this is a challenge to the parents. You see, in Virginia, the election was decided because the government threw down against the parents over critical race theory. Well, now all over the country, the government is throwing down against parents. Then we're going to vaccinate your children whether you like it or not. Don't say they can't do it because they did it in Australia. They rounded up the children, said it's the holiday from school. We're going to the sports stadium to have some fun. And while they were having fun, they vaccinated every last one of them. And I think it was 28,000. Interesting. I think it was 28,000, now that I remember the number. with 28,000 children somewhere in Australia that got vaccinated in one day. And they locked the parents out of the stadium while the children were having fun, drinking Kool-Aid, I guess. You see, so now, again, now how much more does anybody have to see or hear or learn about? You see, now this is what Vladimir Putin in Russia, he said about America. He said, America has become a country that does not care about her children. So I don't know if he's right or not. You see, you would think that if you got 28 million children that are being threatened with an experimental injectable operating system that might change their genetics, that might sterilize them, you would think the parents would be up in arms. You would think that, wouldn't you? Until you realize one thing. 80% of the parents already got the shot. See, they were holding back on the children. See, just like alcohol. It's like alcohol. You don't let the children drink. No, you hold back. That's for adults only. So what does that do? That creates a desire in children to sneak a drink. You see, it's an adult thing. I want to be an adult. So I'm going to do what the adults do. So now that's how they did this. See, they set you up. 80% of the parents already got the shot. How can they tell the children no? And if this is an operating system where radio frequency commands and signals can be both transmitted and received, then the parents are being programmed as we speak. And now it's time for the children to be programmed. So the children and the parents will be in sync. Let's see another image. See, this is terrible. I wonder what people are going to do. Now, this is something that people could do. See, a lot of teachers are being threatened, the job or your jab or your job. Okay, why don't you still be a teacher, but set up a homeschool situation? You know, and again, why should both parents be out of the house and leave their children in the hands of people that you don't like and don't like you? You see, I mean, it's like, okay, the responsibility is yours. It's the responsibility of parents. There used to be a situation where parents and teachers were partners. They had a partnership in helping to rear children and educate children. It wasn't a clash between parents and teachers. They worked together. So maybe a crisis like this forces parents and teachers of goodwill together. And they form new teaching institutions to save our children who are being attacked with a lethal weapon. Assault and battery with a hypodermic syringe loaded with a biological weapon. Let's look at the next image. Yes, now this was a great event that I was pleased to and blessed to be a part of. Informed African Americans. Now this is a video Zoom presentation. It's available. That's where you find it. Just type in Informed African Americans and it'll take you to the website. It's a two-hour presentation, and it gives you the black point of view, you could say, on the whole COVID-19 vaccine situation. And it features Dr. Philip Valentine, Bishop Aaron Lewis, some holistic practitioners from the United States, from the Caribbean, and, of course, yours truly representing the Your Immunity Project. And so this is a major breakthrough because this is the only time that a group of black experts, sounded off in unison on this whole COVID-19 epidemic, pandemic, whatever you want to call it. And we touch on all bases, of course, the physical, the medical, but also the spiritual, the metaphysical, and the holistic approaches that are being taken, not just in this country, but all over the world. So you don't want to miss this. This should actually be the topic of conversation. It's a two-hour presentation. It's worth the time. You want to sit down with the family and your friends and everybody just watch it together and then discuss it. We're trying to reach a goal. We want to have 1 million views by Thanksgiving. 1 million views by Thanksgiving. And then over the holiday season, we want to come out with part two. We're going to come out with part two. You see, so we go into 2022 strong, armed with knowledge about what to do, because it's really going to be a dark winter. So informed African Americans, you don't want to miss the video. Just go to now all of the major platforms, you won't find it on Facebook, Instagram, they all shut it down. They won't even allow me to publish the link. I can't even put the link. They won't allow the link. That's how hot it is. They took it down within 24 hours. That's how hot it is. So you don't want to miss it. So go get it, download it, so you have it on your hard drive. And then you share it widely, but you have to share it through email with your friends, your associates, your workers. Let everybody see it and hear it and understand it. And like we always say, listen to everybody, but then this gives you ammunition to think for yourself. So informed African Americans, go to the website. Let's look at the next image. I'm going to go through all of them tonight. Now, this is tomorrow night. This is tomorrow night, the 19th element. And we're going to be talking about health and wealth, the jab or job, part two. We did part one before. That was dynamite. Tomorrow night, we're going to do part two. And we're going to, now we're going to go into solutions. See, people, their back is up against the wall. They don't want to, they want to know what to do. Well, you have to leave your job. That's what you have to do, actually. You can't stay in the system. There's no way you can survive in the system. You just saw the image of the self-spreading spike protein. So if you stay in the workplace, even with a religious exemption or whatever, maybe, come on in, we were just joking anyhow. Well, do you really want to be in a contaminated environment? You see, where eventually you're going to be vaccinated and you're going to suffer the same consequences of those who actually got the shot. So there has to be an alternative. What is the alternative? What's the way out? What's the exodus? If God said he was going to lead us out with great substance, how does that come about? Is he going to give us money, or is God going to give us wealth? And so you're going to find out about that tomorrow, health and wealth, on the 19th element. That's on Calfani Radio, 9 p.m. Wednesdays. That's tomorrow night, the jab or job, part two. Let's see the next image. Thank you. I'm going to try to go through these images and headlines since we're not going to have the usual reports. But while she's getting up the next batch of images, the progress on the Paxlovid situation is this. All case orders have been sent out. All case orders have been sent out. So if you have been waiting since June, July, August, September, October, for a case or more of Paxlovid that you ordered from DrAleem.com, I'm happy to announce all of those orders have been sent out. Now, if you have been waiting for single bottle orders, that's what we're working on now. And inshallah, if everything goes well by the end of this week, all of those single bottle orders will be satisfied and we will be completely caught up. We got behind because of the recall, because of the internal sabotage, because of the missing bottle caps that was offshore on the ships, because of the worker shortage at the bottling plants, and the worker shortage or truck driver shortage that delayed the transport. And so all of that's behind us. And so hopefully by the end of this week, all back orders will be satisfied for Paxlovid. Looking ahead, I don't think that the truck driver situation, the worker shortage situation is going to get any better. So I think that you should look at what we have in hand right now as though it may be the last. It may not be the last, but look at it as though it is and act accordingly going forward. So now we're looking at some headlines here. Can you blow those up? My poor weak eyes, I can't. Okay, maybe I can. Okay. Oh, so see again, see it was trick or treat. So now they're exempting the truck drivers to get them back up behind the wheel. So they're exempting the truck drivers. You see, they're doing that. It was trick or treat. They never had any mandate in the first place that was legal. Now here it is, hundreds of thousands to go on a 4-day nationwide strike over the vaccine mandates. See, this is getting serious now. When you start talking about nationwide strikes, the next step is actual revolution, civil war. Look at this. See, we reported this months ago. People said it wasn't true. But it is true. The Red Cross says the vax people can't donate plasma as the vax bioweapon wipes out antibodies. Go read the articles now. You can look these things up yourself. You see? So if you can't get blood if you get the vaccine, that means your blood is poison? Is that what that means? I think the Red Cross knows all about blood. And let's see. Yeah, now this is an interesting story. There's a mystery around Governor Newsom in California. He got his booster 10 days ago and hasn't been seen since. And then there's leaked stories coming out of the governor's mansion saying that the governor of California is suffering from Guillain-Barré syndrome. Guillain-Barré syndrome is paralysis. It's a paralysis that's a side effect of the vaccine. Guillain-Barré starts in the toes and the feet, and it works its way up the legs, and pretty soon the person can hardly stand, and they wobble when they walk, and then pretty soon they can't walk. They get so weak that they have to be in a wheelchair. And then the paralysis creeps up the body, slowly, slowly, higher and higher, up the spinal cord. And if it reaches the diaphragm, the level of the diaphragm, and it paralyzes the diaphragm, then the person has to go on a respirator because they can't breathe on their own anymore. And sometimes, you know, depending on the person's immune status, maybe they can fight the virus off and recover function gradually. Just as it came up gradually, it can go down gradually over many weeks to months or even years before they regain full function, if they survive. Now, Governor Newsom is not a pal of mine, but the Paxlovid would help you, Governor. The Paxlovid, if you have Guillain-Barré, I mean, the rumors say you do. That's what Fox News is saying. Other news outlets say you got Guillain-Barré from taking the booster. So get you some Paxlovid, go. Let's look at the next. I think there's another set of headlines. Yes, now look at this one, see? Now VAERS is Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. That's VAERS. That's connected to the CDC. So now 2,433 dead babies are in the VAERS system. As another study shows that the mRNA shots are not safe for pregnant women. Now this means these are miscarriages. These were pregnant women who got the shot, and now they have dead babies. They have spontaneous abortions, miscarriages, other adverse events that result in a dead baby. Now, keep in mind, if you see in parentheses down here, this was verified by Harvard University. When they looked at the VAERS database only reflects 1% of the actual cases. So go back up here to the 2,433. Add two more zeros onto that number. And that's the true number. The true number would be 243,300 dead babies. Because only 1% gets reported. 99% never get reported. So what's going on here? Is this depopulation or what? Now here's the next headline. A doctor is asking, why are we accepting myocarditis as an acceptable side effect of the COVID vaccine? Yeah, people talk, oh, I even saw it on Fox News today. Oh, ho-hum, myocarditis, ho-hum. Children with myocarditis, ho-hum, like it's nothing. when in fact, a lot of these people, if they have a severe case of myocarditis, they're going to be a fatality. They're not just going to be disabled with a weak heart. They're going to become a fatality unless they get a heart transplant. Now, again, in many cases, remember the disclaimers in effect. We don't give out medical advice, but a lot of people with myocarditis are benefited with Vaxximmune. We've saved some hearts like that. Now, this kind of myocarditis from the shot, it may not be what I'm used to in the past. This may be something completely new, but it's worth a shot. Or, I mean, a try. You already got the shot. Now, this next headline is from the UK, the United Kingdom, England. And there's a funeral director over there, John O'Looney, and he's been giving a series of reports about what's going on in the funeral business in England. And, I mean, he's basically saying that all of the corpses that come to his business are people who got the jab. The jab is killing them. Now, this is Dr. Tenpenny and Dr. Pilevsky. You can look them up. They do a series of broadcasts, and they do a lot of research and digging. So if you need more facts than you already have, check them out. They're great. Now, here's an interesting thing that I noticed on television before. If you look at the list of side effects from the vaccine, so-called vaccine shot, you'll see that it matches the television commercials for drugs. All of the side effects now have a commercial on television, so you can get relief from the symptom produced by the shots you got. And now, wouldn't you know it, Pfizer is adding a heart attack ingredient, a blood thinner, is added to the Pfizer kill shot for kids because they know it's going to damage the hearts of these children. So they're already putting in a blood thinner to hopefully, I guess, prevent the clot from occurring in the hearts of these children that are getting the shot. Oh, goodness. Okay, let's see if we have let's see if we have some other headlines here or images. Let's just
that
go through.
That was the last one.
That was the last one and no more images?
No, so the other ones you did already.
Okay, all right. So there you have it. That's an update of what's going on as far as we can tell around the world. I don't think Brother Ruben is with us from Australia tonight. He's exhausted. He's trying to deal with the lockdowns there in Australia, Melbourne, where he lives. But I did hear from him, but he's trying to catch up on some rest because it's really getting intense down there. He's on the way here. I don't know if we have anybody else on the line. We were expecting a report from Trinidad and from Venezuela. If those are available. I don't know who is on the line. Brother Simon was calling in from Trinidad in the past, so I don't know if he's on the line. If not, we can actually wait on those calls, or we can go to...
Brother Simon is on.
Brother Simon is there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, let's hear from Brother Simon from Trinidad and Tobago.
Unmute.
You are muted.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you, sir. Praise be to Allah. How are you?
Thanks. Thanks to Allah. Everybody's fine.
Good.
Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you very much. So, Trinidad, has been going crazy at the moment. They are pushing and pushing and pushing the vaccine. They've received another batch of Pfizer. I believe it was another 100,000 plus some Johnson & Johnson. So that which everybody else is throwing away, because nobody wants the Johnson & Johnson, Trinidad's taking it. But also what you have happening here in Trinidad is they're really pushing this this safe zone. So the those of us that are resisting, the resistance is building, and we're looking at now buying land and planting up our own crops, because it's the way in which they're pushing the narrative. It's very authoritarian. It's very draconian. So we're at the stage where we have to do for self.
Yes.
Also, what they're pushing is that the dates of the Pfizer runs out in November. But they're now pushing and saying that, the sell-by date, the use-by date, has been extended.
Yes.
So now you can, instead of it having to be thrown away in November, you can use it for another 3-4 months.
Yeah. That's an old practice of the FDA. All expired vaccines and medications are not thrown away. They're just relabeled and sent to Africa and the Caribbean and other places around the world. It's just total corruption.
Wow, this is really crazy. We're up in arms. There was a march in a local park in South Trinidad at the weekend just gone. And again, everybody's pushing, don't take the vaccine, leave our children alone.
Do you have any video?
I got it on my phone.
Maybe next week we can show a segment.
Yes, sir. No problem. Now, that's Trinidad. Venezuela now have started to use the Cuban vaccine.
Okay.
Venezuela, they're at 70% of their population now has been inoculated. Okay. But they've been using the Russian vaccine and
Sputnik.
The Sputnik and the Sinovac.
That's the Chinese.
That's right. They've just recently received the Cuban vaccine. I can never pronounce it properly. Adelaide and the Adala and the Sabona.
Yeah, the Cubans have two vaccines.
That's right.
Yes. I don't know much about them technically. I haven't seen the package inserts or anything.
Right. Now,
the Russian vaccine, the Sputnik vaccine, and the Chinese vaccine, my understanding is that those are actually essentially just the influenza vaccine.
Oh.
That's an adenoviral, it's an adenovirus chassis. And it just boosts the immune system to the influenza virus. And remember, the so-called COVID-19 virus is just a coronavirus that causes the common cold.
Right.
So there's some
crossover.
When you're just using an adenoviral vaccine, that's what the Sputnik 5 or V, I don't know if it's a 5, the Sputnik V, and then they have a Sputnik Light.
Right, Sputnik V, yes.
Yes, and then the Chinese, the Sinovac, I believe that's also an adenoviral vaccine. So it's not the same as the mRNA vaccines that are being used in the United States. So now I suspected that the Venezuelans were getting the Cuban vaccine when I saw the spectacular athletes in the Olympics from Venezuela. The sister Rojas, I believe, she won the long jump.
That's right. That's right.
I think she set a world record.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, and then the American athletes fell apart. You see, and I think the telling difference was, like, Sha'Carri Richardson got the U.S. vaccine, the mRNA vaccine. Simone Biles got the American vaccine, and they fell apart. And the Cuban and the Venezuelans, and perhaps some of the other nations too, they got a different vaccine that didn't destroy their athletic ability.
That's right. There's been in many of sports now, people are having the heart problem.
Yes.
And collapsing on the pitch and on the field. And this is happening quite around the world.
Now, wait. You have to explain what it means with being on the pitch. People in the U.S. don't know what that means.
Okay, on the field, on the sports ground, on the football pitch. You know, yes, as tomatoes and tomatoes. there's another Chinese vaccine, which is the Sinopharm.
Yes. See, I don't know much about either one, really.
Okay.
Because one of the benefits of what we're doing right now, talking to somebody outside America is under severe censorship.
Wow.
I mean, even scientific censorship, it's hard to get hard information outside the boundaries of America. It's being censored.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even the prestigious Salk Institute, I mentioned it earlier, that the Salk Institute, when they researched, they found out all the damage was being done by the spike protein on the virus. When I published their report on social media, the fact checkers said it was false information. And I responded, I said, are you saying that the Salk Institute doesn't know what they're talking about when it comes to viruses? Are you kidding me?
Wow.
You see, so there's great censorship that preventing this kind of information from reaching the ears of the American public. And why shouldn't the American public, if they wanted to take a vaccine from Cuba or China or Russia, why shouldn't we be able to do that?
Exactly.
And if they're getting better results, why shouldn't we have the best that there is? We import cars. We import TVs. We import electronics. So why is there an embargo against vaccines?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, we're getting the information that's coming out of America also. So we're getting a lot of the reports. We're getting a lot of the informations on different protocols that are being used and all of this kind of information. So maybe we have to also start posting some more information so we can push it back into America.
I think so. Yes, I mean that's one of the goals, I would say, going forward of the Euroimmunity Project. Like, this conference call, in one sense, has to be an intelligence gathering process where people like you, you know, where you are. I mean, what do you see? What do you hear?
Yes.
What are you being told?
Right.
And report that back to everybody.
Yes,
and
sir.
We have
yes,
no people in Australia. We need some more people in Africa. We need somebody in Europe, in the UK. You
yes,
see,
sir.
That feeds information into the Euroimmunity Project. So then we get the complete picture, and we're not just being given propaganda with blinders on.
Yes, sir. Your videos and the clips that you've been doing are going really wide and far. And I think if you do this same kind of call, this same kind of clip where you're actually calling for people in Africa and Europe, they will come forward.
Yes. Well, I'm calling now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think that this should be a regular feature of what we do, that we want to know. I mean, because after all, you mentioned Africa. Okay, what is the latest count? Isn't it true the 6 African presidents have been assassinated because they took a stand against this so-called vaccine campaign? Well, wait a minute. Well, what's going on now? You see, what is the situation there?
Exactly.
You see, what happened in those countries where those presidents were killed? Not to mention, of course, the assassination of the president in Haiti.
Oh, gosh, yes, sir.
Well, if they're out assassinating presidents of countries, well, shouldn't we look into that and investigate that?
Yes, sir.
Or should we be relying on the assassins to give us the story?
The first casualty in war is truth.
Is the truth. Yes. Yes. And so then when you have a confused population, then they're easily manipulated this way or that way.
Yes, sir.
And that's what you're seeing. People with blinders on, not really knowing what's going on, being fed propaganda, so they think they know what's going on. And so then they make mistakes that can be fatal. So thank you, Brother Simon, for calling in.
No problem.
This
has
been very interesting, very informative. And, you know, always feel free to make a report.
Yes, sir. I will do, sir. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
I have one question.
Yes.
And it's in regards to, again, the information. Your email address, if we have certain information we want to get to you quite urgently, maybe a small report that we've come across that we feel may add to the Pax Immune Protocol, or something like that. Should we send it to that email address?
Sister Najma, why don't you come up with an email for people who are sending in reports, like he said?
Yes, sir.
I think we need a new email that's devoted to that exclusively.
Definitely. Yes, sir. Yes,
so
sir.
She'll come up with something and make that available.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Walaikum salam. So very, very good. So I don't know who else might be on the line calling in, but let's open up the lines for questions, answers, testimonials. I did the One Meal, One Mile Facebook group. That's a How to Eat to Live action group. We did an hour and a half program last night, and I put some of those segments on my Instagram. But nutrition is actually key for everybody going forward. Remember the question that was asked by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad: how strong is the foundation? Can we survive? Well, the very foundation of our life is nutrition. The foundation of immunity, of our immune system, is therefore nutrition. You can't have strong immunity without strong nutrition. And so we have to focus our attention on how are we going to feed ourselves going forward. There was a very poor harvest in 2019 and 2020, about 30% of expectations. The harvest for 2021 is even worse. And so the food prices are going up because the supply is just not there. And there's nothing to replace what is not there, not for a long, long time. There's a global shortage of fertilizers. And so this is not just a local problem or a problem in the United States, but famine is appearing all over the world. And on a lot of the unrest in countries around the world is because skyrocketing food prices threaten people's very existence. So they're in the streets. And soon you'll see that in the United States. I published a report on the movie Soylent Green, which was a sci-fi movie. I think it came out in the 70s, maybe the 80s. Some of you know it, but it's about a future where the food supply becomes human beings being fed to other human beings. In other words, cannibalism. And this futuristic movie was set in the distant future, starring Charlton Heston. And they had people so brainwashed that they were actually eating one another, and they didn't know it. And, of course, the future date was 2022. So that's, what, 2 months away? And Bill Gates is already proposing lab meat to replace the diminishing meat supply. And then, of course, those of you who listen to the Your Immunity Project know that when they shut down the packing plants, then they hacked the packing plants, they were actually injecting the livestock. So what are you eating when you go to the supermarket and buy that chicken or buy that pork or that lamb or that beef? What are you buying? You're buying inoculated beef and chicken. When you're in the restaurant making your order, what do you think they're serving you? They're serving you that commercial beef, that commercial chicken, that commercial livestock that was inoculated months ago. Maybe you should take your magnetometer with you to see if it's magnetic before you eat it. But better yet, you better realize that the party's over. The party's over. You can't eat there no more. You can't eat there no more. You can't buy there no more. Not if you want to stay pure. So, let's open up the lines for calls, testimonials, questions, answers.
Black power, black power, black power. As I mentioned, we're going to also play a clip from Dr. Judy Makovich, who was one of the people who was part of the wicked scientists that developed the coronavirus. This clip from Dr. Aleem Muhammad with the Your Immunity Project. It was, in fact, a 1 hour and 44-minute clip. When the clip loaded, I guess that's the way the switchboard is set up. It only indicated the 44 minutes, so I thought it was only 44 minutes. But, in fact, it is a full 1 hour and 44 minutes. So with that being said, so much key information was laid out by Dr. Aleem. And so before he got into the question and answer part, I do want to use these remaining moments of tonight's broadcast to play this clip from Dr. Judy Makovich, which will, without a doubt, you know, give you scientific backdrop that this was a man-made virus in the lab. And, you know, Dr. Aleem brought out a lot of key information in regards to what is going on with these vaccines, how those who are vaccinated and not vaccinated are being affected. And, you know, and we tell you every night, you know, as much as we can, as often as we can, that we need to become self-sufficient when it comes to growing our own food. Start at home. You can grow your favorite fruits and vegetables out of pots in your own home if necessary, if you live in an apartment or condominium or some townhome that doesn't have a yard. But if you have a yard, use your yard to grow your own fruits and vegetables. There are fruits and vegetables that can be grown in the fall as well as in the winter. And again, you can grow in pots within your home. We must be self-sufficient. Start stacking up on your water, all your essential things that are needed. The brother just mentioned, even the Paxlovid has been on a back order due to the supply chain shortage, meaning merchandise and products that you are used to getting are becoming not only a scarcity, but the prices are rising on them. We are, in fact, living in the days of the fall of America. We are living in the days of the precursor to full-on anarchy, famine, pestilence, disease, corruption. These are all the things, the plagues that are affecting America, that are, in fact, affecting the entire planet, as these damn devils, these damn crackers, and all of their agents have done every wickedness that can be done. But those of us who take heed, those of us who use wisdom, those of us who have the strength and the courage to resist all of these wicked forces that are coming against us will be the ones to survive. And in that, we still have the responsibility of continuing to inform our loved ones, inform our people. I know many people might not listen, but at least the blood is off your hands by you giving them the information, as we are attempting to do with this broadcast. So I'm going to play this last clip, and then we'll be right back on tomorrow night, Black Power. We're going to play a clip from Dr. Judy Makovich, who was one of the creators of the COVID virus. Check it out.
Airplanes and being stuck at military bases all over the country, in this country at least. And so it's a very hot topic, I guess that's what you have to say and so on. But it fits into the show almost exactly, because this is the idea of medical advances. How do you stop these kind of epidemics and people getting killed? The number is now over 1,000 people killed, although most of those are in China, which is not, you know, not good either, of course. At any rate, we have with us this evening a young lady, a PhD, Dr. Judy Makovich, who's been on many shows before. And I, when I got to thinking about this coronavirus, I thought Judy is a perfect example of somebody, a perfect expert, I would have to say, expertise at least, in this area. And so I called her up to do a show, and she's with me this evening. Judy, I always like to shake hands to let you know, even though I know you very well, obviously.
Right.
I've been on many times. Judy's a very good friend of mine, and a very passionate person about things like that. We're going to talk about this evening. And I'm going to put a little different spin, I think, on this whole idea of viruses and the susceptibility to people for it, and vaccines, basically. Anyway, without further ado, I think, Judy, let's just begin the show.
Okay.
Your first line, let me introduce yourself.
Okay, well, thanks, Bob. As you say, I have particular expertise in this because I've studied not only RNA viruses, retroviruses, and their effect on the immune system, and thinking about how emerging coronaviruses, what they mean. I simply went back when you asked me to some reviews from 2016. So
yeah.
I show here, we recall in 2002 we had SARS, which is the severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that one.
Stop for 1 minute though. The coronavirus is actually a family of viruses.
Correct.
SARS being one of them?
Correct.
I guess MERS, we'll get into that.
MERS is
and
another
of course,
one.
The current one.
Right.
They've named it, in fact, they said it was a coronavirus, and all of a sudden the news just started talking about an NCOV. The N stands for new.
Coronavirus. Yeah, so they're labeled. So SARS was named SARS because it causes a severe acute respiratory syndrome,
mm-hmm.
as in fact most of the coronaviruses cause respiratory cough and,
okay.
and hemorrhaging in the respiratory tract, in the nasal. They call it nosocomial.
Yeah, you can't really see this very well, ladies and gentlemen.
Nosocomial outbreaks.
Anyway,
so this is a 2016 review, and it just shows you
yeah.
that family of viruses and what the structure of the RNA virus looks like. So we know a great deal about these viruses and their interaction with the immune system. So we appreciate their receptors, how they infect. So the SARS coronavirus, as you mentioned, and the MERS coronavirus, how they enter the cell through the receptor. And in the case of the new coronavirus, they enter through an angiotensin receptor. So, and in fact, it's very interesting because the downregulation of that receptor actually saves you from damage, because when those receptors are upregulated, they cause microvasculature leaks. So you start bleeding and hemorrhaging, and that's in effect how these cause death. But so we know the biology quite well, and I'm not going to go into it in great detail.
This is for all of the different
coronaviruses. For all of the different coronaviruses.
Yeah.
They have different receptors, and they have different capsids on, so they have different points that bind with that receptor, and they go into the cell, enter, and they uncoat in the endosome, and then they release their genomic RNA, and they have an enzyme which replicates that RNA, and it goes to the nucleus of the cell, and it makes a virus particle
yeah.
that looks like that represented schematically.
Okay. So go back to that slide a minute.
Sure.
Just so people understand, this is what's called, this is the virus itself,
yeah.
Particle.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very small.
Correct. Very, very small.
This is the size of this compared to a bacteria, which you can't see in a microscope either. This is 100 times smaller than the bacteria.
Correct. Somewhere in the nanomolar, 10 to 50 nanomolar
range would be
this size of
and
a coronavirus.
And these little points along the edge here are the receptors.
They're what tap into the cell.
That tapped into the cell.
So,
but that has to match up with the cell itself.
Yeah, it has to see the receptor on
the
cell.
It doesn't go to anywhere. It goes only to the receptor that it's this.
Correct.
It's like a puzzle being fit. This is the piece that fits into that part of it, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
And then once it gets into a cell that it can infect,
that has
receptors, so lock and key kind of idea.
Yeah.
Once it does that and it latches onto the cell, it opens up, goes into the cell, uncoats, and makes many, many, many more particles using your cell's machinery.
You can't blame the virus in a way. It's trying to live. It can't live. It can't multiply, basically, without going into another cell. And in the process, of course, kills that cell.
Correct.
Or does damage that cell.
Does
even
damage
cancer,
to it.
In fact.
Correct. And that's a long-term thing. But you're exactly right. A virus can't kill its host. So that's a very efficient virus. And so that's why we're talking about, and we'll talk about it a lot more, about how it evades the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the innate immune system that provokes a strong antiviral response.
Right.
So the type 1 interferons, that remember all the way back in the 80s, that was my first job, the magic bullet against cancer, purifying interferon and using that as an anti-tumor, anti-cancer agent. So we now know, 40 years later, we know much more about the immune system and the various parts of the type 1 interferon pathway that these viruses evade. And so they're able to suppress the type 1 interferon response, and that makes many, many, many more particles. And that stimulates a very strong inflammatory response through NF-kappa B and the cytokines that we've talked about on this show endlessly, IL-1. IL-6, IL-8, and so this is a very powerful, inflammatory response, because the host, the immune system, sees that as, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And in fact, it's that severity of the immune response that does a lot of the tissue damage. So if you can, the virus has parts proteins that suppress the type 1 interferon, so you can continue making more and more. Then they infect more and more cells in the host, in the lungs, in the nasal passages, and that's when that strong inflammatory response, you turn up the fire, and it's actually the damage done by your own immune system that kills
you. You're damaging the virus itself, then, right?
No, you're damaging, you're killing the tissues that are infected.
Okay.
So first you want type 1 interferons to suppress the replication.
Yeah.
Don't make many more particles. So the virus actually makes proteins to tell interferon right here, don't go, leave us alone, we're fine, you don't have to worry about us.
Mm-hmm.
So they suppress the type 1 interferons. That allows a lot more particles to be made. This last picture, that's a particle. So then you've got a lot more particles, and you've got a little virus factory making particles, and then the innate immune response in your cytokines and chemokines, these particles are recognized by things called pathogen-associated molecular patterns. So it just sees a pattern, and it stimulates, it turns on the fire. It literally says, we need a fire engine, go to the fire and put it out. And when the immune system is going there with all these cytokines and chemokines, it does a lot of damage to the tissue. And
now, to the tissue of what?
Of your lungs.
Of your cells,
the human.
But that's good.
It's not good. It's how it kills you.
Yeah.
So
okay.
What you've got to do in order to treat or prevent is you've got to lessen all the inflammation so that you can really focus an immune response on that.
Yeah.
And so we can actually think about why the bats, and I believe I have that on the next slide. Well, this talks about the emergence.
Yeah.
So this is what we're told, and this is one of the frustrations. So we were told with this virus outbreak in late December when we first learned of it, that it came from a fish market, and it just emerged from a contaminated piece of food, and one woman got it, and then it spread around. Well, what we now know is that there's a biosafety level 4 laboratory where they were manipulating. It was because of SARS and MERS and the severity of these that we had been working with, and I say we as scientists, both in the United States and in China, in our biosafety level 4 labs. I worked at the one at Fort Detrick where the National Cancer Institute. I worked in the early 90s with Ebola, trying to teach it to infect human cells without killing them from that immune response. As you said, the cell will blow up and it'll kill, and a virus doesn't want to kill its host. So this virus was actually the SARS viruses. The bats were taken to the Chinese facility, a biosafety level 4 facility in the Wuhan laboratory.
Right.
So that fish market was actually very close by, but
within a few hundred feet.
And so it's very clear now that whether through safety measures or whatever weren't taken, but the virus, a more pathogenic virus. So they didn't in fact attenuate
the
virus.
Which they had made
by passing it through and trying to do what I do, teach it to infect human cells without killing them.
Yeah.
The attempt, if you just say what we were doing in the lab, the attempt was to weaken it, so that we could develop, study it and develop effective treatments for it back in the 90s when I worked with Ebola in the biosafety level 4 at USAMRIID. But what happened is, some of the virus escaped, and the bats have different immune system, and we'll talk a lot about that because it's interesting. But what happened here is like from 2002, so this is greater than 30 years ago, and you know, some camels got infected over in India, and so that's the Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome. That's what the RS. So there's SARS, severe acute, because this was an acute infection that would kill them. And it's very clear that it doesn't go through a secondary host. So the bats can interact with other small animals and small mammals, and then humans come in contact. As suggested, it crossed species. It's called zoonotic transmission. Zoonosis, that's how a pathogen jumps.
Zoonosis, define that.
So the zoo is an animal.
Right.
So you transmit from one animal to another.
To this animal
species.
Here.
Correct.
With humans,
correct.
Of course.
And usually the doctors get infected. The scientists get infected. Me working in the laboratory, I'm at risk of getting infected. So that's why I was working in a biosafety level 4.
Right.
None of my air came in from the lab and none of the lab air escaped. But of course, somehow this virus, this now very highly pathogenic virus, that doesn't need a secondary host, that doesn't need to go through a secondary host, can actually go directly from the Wuhan facility into men and through the doctors, through the scientists, and then through community contact. And then when the important thing about the patient in the hospital is they're already sick. So they have a compromised immune system, so they already have inflammation going on.
That's true.
And they're already susceptible.
Yeah.
And if you have another pathogen directing your immune system away, then it allows another pathogen to come in there and wreak havoc because your immune system's already compromised.
Right,
and
compromised
so
already,
we can talk about this fascinating subject.
Well, certainly people in the hospital are already sick.
Correct.
They're susceptible to it, plus older people and small children, too.
Yeah, well, the very elderly and the babies, so they don't have developed immune systems.
Yeah.
So they don't have that type 1 interferon pathway, and often it's compromised in sick people. So you're going to spread it more.
Yeah.
Through the hospital.
So this is kind of what's happening. What you're telling us
right.
is that's what's happening, how it got started now, this
corona. Correct.
C COV, that's how it got started. It was already created by this
laboratory manipulation.
And because they weren't as careful as they should have been.
Or what?
Which is tough to do to begin with. It was bound to happen, I guess. That's what, in a way, to happen.
It's happened multiple times in the 21st century. The first one was 2002, but we know, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, but we know the issues with the XMRVs, the mouse viruses that contaminated the blood supply and probably came from the polio vaccine all the way back in the 1930s, because the polio virus was passed through mouse tissue, mouse brain, to attenuate it.
Yeah.
So picking up dormant tissues, and then 60 years later, we isolated infectious and transmissible viruses that from people with diseases like autism, ME/CFS, lots of cancer, and this was the big problem of 2009 in our discovery. But again, there was an outbreak of Ebola in 2014, and it was very clear. It was said that virus came from, somebody not cooking their food properly over in Liberia. That was 21,000 people died in Liberia from the Ebola outbreak of 2014. And it was very clear that the strain of Ebola wasn't a natural strain that passed over 30-some years the way we're talking about. It was actually accelerated likely by the manipulation of the very work we did in Fort Detrick, because it was very clear that the strain of virus had different mutations that enabled it to infect the cells, and spread more quickly.
Playing God. And you're not.
And we're not. So what I show here, that when we think about coronaviruses and why the bat viruses are so deadly, what's pretty cool about this is...
keep in mind, too, get this idea across, that bat can fight this virus. The bats don't die of the virus. They can pass it on.
Exactly.
They don't, obviously they're going to be sick or something like that, but this virus, they've developed an immune response to this virus that works okay. So when the virus, but they can still pass it on. Unfortunately, humans don't have that immunity.
Type of immunity.
That. Yeah, right.
And that was exactly what we were talking about. So what the bats are the only mammals that fly. And it takes a tremendous amount of energy to fly. And that produces a lot of reactive oxygen species.
Yeah.
We think about it when our athletes and all the damage from reactive oxygen species and using anti-inflammatories for pain and things like that. So reactive oxygen species are bad.
What is that reactive oxygen species?
I'm trying to think of the word to use here. Free radicals. So free radicals damage tissue. They damage mitochondria. It slows you down. It's called free radical damage. And we think of that, and that's why we use all these antioxidants. Blueberries, strawberries, all our colored fruits have antioxidants and dampen free radicals. So with the bat, in order to produce that much physical energy, has a very effective way to keep those free radicals, because they'll damage your tissue. The free radicals are oxygens that are like O3, and it does damage to your tissue. So if the bats remove that very quickly with anti-inflammatory pathways, they turn off that fire I was talking about, the IL-1, the IL-6, they turn it off very quickly, and so that they don't die. So they don't accumulate the tissue damage, so the virus lives quite comfortably with them, because they're not doing damage through their own immune response, because they have a very efficient system for clearing out free radicals, which cause tissue damage from these things. And most importantly, they have a hair trigger release of that signaling molecule I just talked about, interferon alpha. So that's an antiviral. It's the most powerful. I brought a bottle of it with us. You know, that was my first research job at Fort Detrick. It was purify interferon alpha and give it to humans. It was the magic bullet of cancer, March 31st, 1980. That was just before I graduated from University of Virginia. And I said, that's what I want to do. So I got a job June 10th, 1980, started making, put the first interferon that went in for cancer.
The magic bullet.
So it was a magic bullet for cancer.
It turns out it was a berry,
but we don't use it anymore because we didn't think about it. So I brought this is a homeopathic called Paxamune that some colleagues have made over the years, and you can buy this on the internet, and I have it in the slide, because you could spray this in your nasal passages in your lungs.
Spray, right.
And so you would have your hair trigger antiviral right there.
Yeah.
So you need nothing other than this. Vitamin C will dampen down that NF-kappa B inflammatory pathway.
Right.
So we have things ready to go for these viruses. In addition, should you be exposed to keeping a
healthy
immune
system. Which are natural products now.
Which are natural products.
Not synthetic, not making up stuff.
Not synthetic, not recombinant, not gene expression. And so, interestingly, this I show here, this Australian black flying fox.
You can barely see it. There's a bat right there.
There's a bat right there.
Hanging up.
I never did like bats. And so sometimes this virus, which also can cause severe respiratory diseases, is transmitted to horses and sometimes humans. Well, interestingly, one of the old hormone therapies I used to work with, again, I did drug development, was called Premarin, and it came from pregnant mare's urine. So you would do it was an anti-hormonal therapy. So we would have to make sure in my job, and I have through the years, that none of these viruses were present, so that the process of making the drug would kill the virus, which heat will kill the virus and other things will kill the virus and simple interferons.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways that we can use, you know, have our knowledge of these viruses and keep them from emerging. But what's really become clear is that it's the manipulation of animal tissue in humans and how we can be accelerating the, circulating, this is another cluster rate. So here's the host range and you get recombination events. If you have more than one virus.
What do you mean by recombination?
So this takes on a mutation.
Yeah.
And
this is a normal cell,
the host
right?
range. Correct. That's a normal cell, and there's a virus in there, and it takes on a mutation so that it can live longer.
Yeah.
And so, and then.
That's to keep in mind. These viruses are constantly mutating.
Correct. Constantly mutating, and there's error in their enzymes, so they can recombine with other viruses.
Yeah.
And make new viruses. And this, of course, is what's happened in the case of the XMRVs, the recombination events that allowed new infectious transmissible viruses to be generated in only 2 weeks in culture in one of our laboratories. So we accelerate that 30-year time frame that I showed back here. This is cross-species transmission takes greater than or equal to 30 years. Not if you're running it through Fort Detrick or
we'll go back to that slide. They keep an eye. The camels, this was passed on to camels then at some point?
Yeah.
Somehow or other.
At some point,
That's what MERS stands for. Maybe.
Correct.
It's for this one here. I'm not sure what that means. It's, what does that stand for?
MERS, Middle East Respiratory.
Yeah, Middle Eastern strain and so on. This is the
respiratory syndrome.
Now, this is the Liberian thing? Ebola.
That was Ebola. Liberia. So this, and again,
Liberian.
Similar family of viruses.
Yeah.
So, but we use camels for food and for fat, and we actually use them for some of our products and therapies now, because the hump fat itself contains a great deal of nutrients. So again, all you'd have to do is make sure you heat it, you decontaminate, you autoclave these things so that they're not transmitted.
But you have to make sure of that.
But you have to make sure of that. So cooking and things like that. So here you end up with these direct infections, and whether you go through a secondary host or not. See, when you're in the laboratory and you've taken on a lot of mutations, that's what I was talking about with the Ebola in Liberia in 2014, a lot of mutations. So it was easy to get an epidemic strain out. And then of course, one of the things that we do that is not correct.
Now, when you say epidemic strain, what's that mean?
That means one that can transmit much faster and infect a lot of people and cause severe pathogenesis.
Right. So it's a strain that's going to cause it, and it's quick.
Most of the coronaviruses and other RNA viruses are harmless.
Now keep in mind also that this is it also indicates, talks about, it goes back to what a virus is. One of the differences is it's different shapes for one thing, but RNA. Some of the viruses are just RNA in it. In other words, and the other ones, some of the other ones are DNA.
Correct.
But you're talking about the RNA
viruses. RNA viruses are a lot more dangerous than the DNA viruses.
Yeah, so I was asking, say the RNA are a lot more dangerous because they can do combinations, whereas DNA has to be certain things have to go together.
They're a lot bigger. So the DNA viruses are the herpes viruses. And it's interesting because the type 1 interferon pathway doesn't control, isn't the front line of defense for the herpes viruses. There are other pathogen-associated molecular patterns and pathways to heal those. But again, if you get a co-infection with both, you can create a much sicker patient. The host becomes much sicker because its immune system is further compromised and can't respond. I can tell you a good story about Liberia if we have time in the end. But so it's pretty clear that this coronavirus didn't originate in a fish market or in a market that
it wasn't
came
natural.
From the lab. It
wasn't natural. It was made in this laboratory. Doing research, I guess, or something like that. Although it's been associated with biotech warfare and things like that, that would make it at least they knew what they were doing. This in a way they didn't know what they were doing.
I think we know what we're doing. I think we knew risks of what we were doing. I think it's clear that we've known the risk now for at least 50 years of mixing animal and human tissue.
And we say we, it isn't just the Chinese.
That's the royal we of the scientists in general.
Scientists, right,
You know, again, I was one of those scientists once doing that, thinking you were doing good because you would learn how to develop drugs against it. But as you see, we have learned how to develop drugs against it.
The bat escapes from the cage or something like that.
Yeah, with the type 1 interferons that we developed them a long time ago.
Doesn't close the door or something, and next thing you know, you got an epidemic going on.
Exactly.
A real big problem.
But again, most of them, it takes quite a while to acquire the ability to infect easily human cells. And that's how we can tell this virus.
Now, you're saying that's through mutations then.
Correct. And that's why we can tell this virus didn't come from a natural setting, because of the kind of the ACE receptor. And that's a lot more detail than we need to go into for this show. But anyway, this is,
but the bottom, it has to adapt. I mean,
correct.
It's because it's not going to pass along. Because it's mutating constantly and so on, it's finding a way to do it, finding a way to stay alive. You may have a lot of these viruses that can't do it, but if one of them does, that's all you need is one.
And at that point,
it becomes many.
And when we're working with cell lines in the laboratory, they're continuous cell lines, meaning they grow all the time.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in nature. So we're giving it a huge acceleration the zoonosis in laboratory
manipulation. Which even works. Whereas it takes several million years and something like that, we're doing it in a day.
Or a few weeks.
A few weeks or whatever.
So this particular slide, and I show this because again, we're going to go back to vaccines. Mm-hmm. Because when you make a vaccine, you grow a pathogen, an RNA virus or whatever it is, in a tissue, in either an animal cell line, fly, mosquito, human,
chickens,
flu vaccine, and we'll talk about that. So I show here particularly Pediarix.
Now these are two vaccines essentially.
Correct.
That are given to 2-month-old children.
2-month-old infants.
Infants and so on.
2 months, 4 months, 6 months.
And these little letters here all are different diseases. It's a combination.
Yeah, vaccine.
A vaccine given to a 2-month-old baby.
Correct.
Who doesn't have an immune system.
Correct. And it's really important as we look at this in this in the context of an emerging zoonosis and emerging viruses. So this is diphtheria, tetanus, acellular pertussis, Hep B, and polio. Mm-hmm. In a single vaccine.
Yeah.
But what's more important is I'm showing here what the CDC table called the excipient list. This is what else
what's
is
in, it?
In the needle.
Yeah.
And so in order to grow, each of these antigens has a different host that it grows in. So in order to grow these different antigens and make a vaccine by mixing them all together,
are they making just antigens? The antigens are what antibodies attach to on the cell. Okay?
Well, so a weakened virus, this polio virus, that's the big problem in this particular one that for today's discussion, that polio virus is a live attenuated virus. And so in order to grow that polio virus, which is an RNA virus, we grow that in vero monkey kidney cells.
Mm-hmm.
What is an intermediate host for coronaviruses? Monkeys.
Yeah, right.
The Ebola. And so vero monkey kidney cells, we grow viruses very well. You know why? They have no type 1 interferon alpha, none.
No.
So you're a little virus replication factory.
Right.
But the problem is they don't clean these out of the vaccine.
I didn't realize interferon was that important.
Very important. Type 1 interferon, my first job. So at any rate, they don't clean it out of the vaccines. So now this child, should this child be exposed to somebody who has a coronavirus, They've got the makings of the coronavirus right there,
right.
And Ebola and HIV, because they have the genetics and the viruses that were in vero monkey kidney cells injected into this child, and you're a factory for something else, and you've stimulated a very strong immune response with the aluminum hydroxide and the aluminum phosphate. I mean, these children, especially vaccinated children, if exposed to this coronavirus, wouldn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing you could say, and I didn't put the excipient, I might have it here for the flu vaccine.
Whereas they might very well, it would just be without this thing, they might very well have had the ability to fight off this.
Correct.
Correct.
They might be, and so would the mothers. And so, unfortunately, the mothers are being vaccinated as well these days, and that never happened when I was a child or when I was a childbearing age.
I got measles. I didn't have a vaccination.
Correct.
I lived through it. Which,
correct.
By the way, keep in mind, too, we should add this to it immediately here, too. These vaccines prevent this disease this time around. But unlike the immune system, this is only the immune the innate response. So that doesn't develop an immunity to it.
A lifelong immunity,
the adaptive response.
And you can even argue, because there's no research that's ever been done in a 2-month-old, that they don't develop any kind of immunity.
Yeah.
So these, given the way they're given in the 21st century, they're all risk and no benefit.
Yeah.
And all risk. So, but
the benefit has to be beyond a couple of years, well, a couple of months even, and so on. Otherwise, you're vaccinating them continuously, basically.
Right.
And that certainly isn't good.
Well, and this, of course, is the zoonosis of the retrovirus. This was our work in XMRVs. This was our 2009 science paper that basically ended my career, because when the magnitude of this zoonosis, that mouse leukemia, mouse cancer-causing viruses, had been transmitted to, for now more than 50 years, I think the first outbreak of myalgic encephalomyelitis and the first cases of autism were a zoonosis that came from a polio vaccine. And remember, in the 30s, in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
in the 30s, we vaccinated, we attenuated polio by passing it through mouse brains.
Right.
So we picked up a mouse retrovirus family that is associated with many diseases, cancer, chronic fatigue syndrome, autism, passed it through the doctors. The children got it. The whole family got it. And so the susceptibility here was this gene called RNA cell. So it's like a Pac-Man RNA cell, ACE, it clips. It cleaves all RNAs that are outside the cell, okay. RNA viruses, DNAs. So that's a simplistic way to say it. So this mutation that was found in prostate cancer susceptible people, so only people with prostate cancer that had this R462 mutation, one mutation gave the enzyme about half its ability to degrade these viruses. So those men were more likely to get inflammatory and deadly prostate cancer very young.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we, that was where the virus was first identified in 2004,
yeah.
The sequences, and then we found it. And of course, as I mentioned in the slide before, there's cow blood in every vaccine. There are pig retroviruses in the Rotatec. There's vero monkey kidney cells, which mm-hmm. carry SIV, which is the progenitor of HIV. And then there's human fetal tissue that contain a lot of endogenous viruses
yeah.
from humans.
What you're saying basically is the polio vaccine and other vaccine, mm-hmm. but polio was mm-hmm. kind of, I don't know, pretty much one of the original ones at least. There's been documented cases where people have gotten sick, cancers. I mean, that, keep in mind that for people that don't know, viruses can become cancerous.
Correct.
They just don't make you sick. They give you cancer.
Right. And SV40 is another of the viruses that causes lung cancer, associated with lung cancer and other
yeah.
things. So these zoonoses are not new, and we know of them, and they can be critical because, of course, retroviruses aren't easily cleared, and they take 20 to 30 years to kill the host.
Right.
But
we don't
as
know.
We're,
they're giving this thing to two-month-old babies.
Correct.
You may find it 30 years from now.
Well, and what that's exactly what we're seeing.
Isn't it
we're
get
seeing
it right
cancers
now.
To we're seeing 20-year-olds with breast cancer, triple
yeah.
negative, one of the most aggressive
yeah.
cancers. So this is just what I just said. So how do mouse retroviruses get into human? Well, you take the mice in the conveyor cell. You
what is a retrovirus then? That
HIV. They have both RNA and DNA. And they
okay.
reverse transcribe their RNA into DNA and they
right.
insert themselves into
right.
your genome for your life.
Yeah.
So if they hit a stem cell, if they hit a blood cell, an immune cell, you become a little virus factory, and this is what it shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're taking them right, we're mixing them. So I use the blue and the red here. So we just take the mouse and we mix it with those other cell lines.
Yeah.
The cow, the pig, the calf serum, the vero monkey kidney cells, the MRC5, the human cells.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take the whole gamish. We don't even clean it up. And we just inject it into a vulnerable infant. And I show a black baby here because that's what we learned in the vax situation with MMR. MMR are three RNA viruses. And so if you have that, blacks and Mexicans and certain other people have more of that R462Q where they can't degrade it as fast. So what we learned is in their enzyme system, their immunity isn't developed until they're 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So what we learned in the data that that was covered up by Thompson and the CDC back in 2000 is if they waited until a black child was 3 years old to give MMR, they dropped the relative risk of getting autism by fourfold. And of
mm.
course, they didn't wait. They just
yeah.
spread it around.
And just because
right.
they are a different ethnic background or whatever you want to call
different
it. So
gene
on. Yeah, different genes. Yeah, they have
correct.
More susceptibility. So, but
yes.
they got the same vaccine.
Correct.
Which had been tested on white kids, I said, I guess, and so on.
It wasn't tested on anyone, actually.
It was tested on anyone, okay.
So everybody had more of a
yeah.
risk because
yeah.
the contaminants haven't been advertised.
Yeah.
So I just show a simple slide of what I call 21st century acquired AIDS, acquired endocannabinoid, because the endocannabinoid system, now we know we have an endogenous system of ion channels and channels which can send signals to the immune system and calm everything down, and that's that's cannabis as therapy. So I'm proposing for coronaviruses, for emerging viruses, for zoonosis to prevent tissue injury, we can use cannabis if we use it in a rational way.
Be tested, you know.
Absolutely.
When you say cannabis, because everybody thinks of marijuana and so on, but that's not the same thing at all. This is cannabis, which is very natural again. Keep that in mind. Very natural in nature.
We're not talking heating up smoking. We're talking about taking a plant in nature and taking cannabinoids that we know will calm down that fire. So the endocannabinoid system in simplistic terms is a system whereby it's a dimmer switch on that inflammation.
Yeah.
So in the beginning when I said if the fire gets too high in humans because they can't clear the reactive oxygen species fast enough, it doesn't do that in bats. Well, the endocannabinoid system is a system where with a plant you can put the dimmer switch on it. You can not the on and off switch, the dimmer switch.
Yeah.
Just stop the flames of the fire, the inflammation. Stop the flames from going that high.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I show here another slide of the 2014 Ebola outbreak. And so I mentioned this, but this is what came out in the press about in Liberia. And these were our NIH directors. And when you inject a vaccine and bypass things or do anything where you mix blood, because of course in HIV/AIDS it was the blood supply that was heavily contaminated and spread that through the susceptible population.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, until very recently, we didn't vaccinate AIDS patients because we knew we would kill them. We would spread the virus through their body, where we could shut it down if we allowed the natural immunity to work, which was, of course, some of my PhD thesis in the role of the macrophage in controlling the disease.
Yeah.
So in 2014, I show here from I believe it was an article in
Scientific Reports,
Scientific American or something like this. So
yeah.
Here's what the CDC said when it was very clear that the Ebola in Liberia didn't spread through blood and body tissues, that it had been aerosolized, that it could be spread the same way as the emerging coronaviruses we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
So the CDC says, well, it's not contagious because when you cough with measles, it goes 6 feet. I'm not sure how they count the drops, and if you cough with Ebola, it only goes 3 feet. Therefore, you don't have to worry about it, folks. So this is the kind of media, and we're seeing it in our media today, the lies that are being told by our governments and our labs about these outbreaks and about the origin.
Well, that makes
here,
not so much lies that they don't understand it themselves.
They do. They do. I think my two books will tell you. Well, here's Harold Varmus, and he was the NIH director, and he implemented the xenotransplantation program in 1999. We remember when we used to use pig aortas and veins for heart transplants. We didn't put those in HIV-infected people because of the risk. Xenotransplantation, you take foreign tissue, xenotransplantation, take foreign tissue, xeno, and put it in another species. And then that runs the risk of transmitting or accelerating a zoonosis because, of course, a patient with HIV is compromised because the HIV is compromised, the immune system. So they said in some cases, the viruses that are not pathogenic in their natural hosts can in some cases become pathogenic when transmitted to a new species.
Mm-hmm.
So they said this in 1999. And we knew this. We've known this for most of my entire adult career. And we were talking about your friend with Lyme disease.
Yeah.
So it's no different than the multi-component animal viruses from mosquitoes. So what accompanied the Zika outbreak and the emergence in Brazil, which according to the news, caused the microcephaly, the people born with deformed brains and small brains and from pregnant women. And so that the Zika was, supposedly passed through, you know, mosquitoes, but or animals are just somehow zoonosed into humans. But at that time, what they were doing in Brazil was they were spraying the natural environments, and they released some engineered mosquitoes to the area, and then did spraying with a lot of pesticides, and then they vaccinated with DTP.
They were testing this thing on mosquitoes, but unfortunately, some of the mosquitoes escaped. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they released them on purpose.
Okay.
And
well,
as a way to control, theoretically, as a way to control the mosquito population or pathogenic mosquitoes.
Right.
But what in fact they did was they caused the zoonosis of the Zika, which is also an RNA virus.
Because it mutated?
No, because the animals under stress, even bats in the rainforest there, they took them out of their natural environment and put them under stress by all the spraying, and then they released mosquitoes that were engineered to produce other things. And this paper is a 2016 paper which shows they could get all kinds of viruses out of those mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. And so you think about, an expanded host range to include monkeys. So now here's a multi-component animal virus. And again, this is published, 5 years ago. So when you say they don't know, and nobody sees this in the news. Nobody sees this fanfare. And we think about Lyme, which is Borrelia, ticks. And ticks have been weaponized and released. We've always had ticks in our environment. Why do we have this explosion of tick-borne diseases?
Right.
Well, it's the crippling, and because there are other pathogens emerging that are crippling other halves of the site. So these are being caused by our manipulation of animal tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one shows you, this is the MMR5. So this is a recent MMR vaccine, and an independent group over in Italy got a hold of some, because again, these vaccines have never been tested. We don't know what's in them. Nobody's an expert because we don't know what's in them. We can't even guess. But this group got some vaccines.
They don't know what's in them.
They're not testing what they think is in them.
Yeah. But it turns out to be there's other things in it.
Right. And they won't test them, and they haven't been safety tested,
right,
as we know. And that was actually admitted by the WHO and the CDC, that these vaccines are killing people and that there's a lot of contaminants. And yes, they've never been safety tested as required by law since 1986.
Yeah.
Not a single test. So here's an independent study that shows, 32 sequences of a human endogenous retrovirus that's associated with a lot of diseases like Lou Gehrig's disease, again, explosion of these diseases. Equine, this is a horse anemia virus. Two of those, avian leukosis virus, it destroys your white blood cells from birds, and 32, four sequences of
a different. So you're saying these viruses were in that?
These were all in MMR.
And I guess it's worse because they really didn't know it. They didn't test it, so they didn't really know what was in it.
Well, but it's mandated by law to be injected in our children, or they don't go to school.
Yeah.
So this is our problem.
Yeah.
So it's all right if you want to take this stuff, but we don't have informed consent.
Yeah.
We're being lied to about what's in these, and then it's being mandated by law or our ability
to have
a job.
Well, it's not so much that they're lied to, and so they didn't know what's in there.
Well, they won't test it.
These children are becoming guinea pigs.
And our adults.
Yeah.
With every flu vaccine,
well, they become
they're
adults,
not tested.
And then, like I say, 30 years from now, you really don't know what causes this to happen. Well, it's because you've got a vaccination of something they really weren't sure about.
And
they had never tested it.
That's what we're seeing, as required by law.
Yeah.
I mean, I tested this.
Okay.
For years. So
I got a few minutes left here, so.
This just shows you the antiviral pathway of the cannabinoids, so that we can start thinking they're natural product medicines.
Mm-hmm.
So the cannabinoids here's type 1 interferon. So they block that inflammatory tissue damaging response.
Mm-hmm.
They'll control the fire, as I mentioned, and they'll stimulate the production of type 1 interferons. So you can take a a cannabinoid formulation from hemp, as you just said, non-psychoactive, and you can drive, you can dampen the pathology that would kill you and spray some type 1 interferons in a homeopathic form.
And here
like
again, we're talking
here.
About a natural product here.
Yeah, and a natural product that will prevent and treat the coronavirus emergence.
Yeah.
And in fact, any of the other viruses I've been talking about tonight, including retroviruses, we even if exposed, we can prevent disease if we allow, you know, these are again illegal. We can't grow, use, make drugs out of these plants.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like any other family of plants there that I've made drugs from
for
now
40
years.
It's got a bad reputation.
I guess a good reputation
among a certain group of people and so on, but
yeah.
The bottom line, this is not marijuana here.
Right. It's time to end the plague of corruption
in
what we're allowed to use as medicine and what medicines are being forced on us, which is basically all that we're trying to say. But so the emergence of the new coronavirus, the end coronavirus 2019, is not unanticipated from what we're doing. And
very appropriately, you've written two books. The latest one, in fact, you want to show that here?
Lots of plants.
Do you have it, Fred? No, I guess not. Okay, well, here are the same. The same.
Yeah.
These are the two books. This has, well, both of them and so on. So if you're interested in finding out more about them, this one has not been published yet, I gather, right?
Yeah, this will come out in about a month. What's wonderful about this book is, so the first book, as you know, we talked about the censorship and the cover-up of the XMRVs and the idea of the diseases they were causing.
Which you were very much involved in.
Which, and I only learned the hard way.
Yeah.
But in the plague of corruption, it starts really from 2014. Stuff that I didn't know that we've even talked about tonight. And what I said is in plague of corruption, we raise the broader question of the enormous risk of using animal tissue in research and mixing it with human tissue for the development of medical therapies while covering up the value and the efficacy of natural product therapies like cannabis, homeopathy, energetics therapies, like we've talked on the show about, we've talked about electroporation. And so the energetic therapies are healing as well, including even light therapy. We can restore and reverse some of the Alzheimer's effects with different light energies, different therapies with light. So the plague of corruption, that's why we titled it this way, and Frank coined the phrase restoring faith in the promise of science.
Mm-hmm.
As you know from this show and why you do it, is medical hope. We have huge promise for science. We have the technologies to do these things. We can catch these outbreaks very quickly. And if we don't censor the truth when an unfortunate, inconvenient truth comes out, like a practice that we thought might be risky and we ignored the risk and allowed the emergence of new strains of
pathogenic
virus.
I've got a couple minutes left here. One thought I want to, there's a paper out today, I guess it is, from the University of Texas, Austin. Here's a tool, you're talking about the science, a tool that they have. They've been able to sequence the genome of this new coronavirus, COV, but what they're trying to, their last paragraph of their paper, at least the part that I read and so on, they're taking people who have basically survived this. There's only, 2% now, but 2% of the people who will get it end up dying, and that's, of course, old people and babies and people who have a compromised immune system to begin with. But they got the fact that these people again, here it is. They get the same, they get the innate response, but they have the adaptive response, the antibodies, which means antibodies, basically.
Correct.
Antibodies, little soldiers running around your body and so on, looking for this same virus. If it shows up again, they got it, right?
Right.
Getting those antibodies out of people and so on, and then reproducing those to help people out and so on. But here again, it's a natural thing.
Yeah, appreciating the memory responses.
Right.
We can go a long way towards healing.
Yeah. And I always tell people it's taken millions of years to perfect, and God, evolution, nature, whatever you want to call it, it's worked pretty well for people, basically.
as a system, and we're trying to do it in a couple of years.
Right.
We're playing God, basically.
Right.
Anyway, okay.
Some of us have a problem with that.
Yeah, some have a little problem with that.
Right.
Well, I hope you've understood some of this stuff, and it gets a little better, a little different slant on this whole virus thing. I think that we'll get over it, basically. It'll pass.
It always
does. Even in the natural world, it always passes because you're immune.